$100 and save.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Constance Cumby, who back in 1980 wrote a book called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Constance has been our guest many, many times. Certainly she has done a DVD for us. It's called The Emergence. We have a four-tape set of her talks. It's called Aquarian Conspiracy, The Aquarian Conspiracy. But certainly she is certainly one of the world's leading experts, if not the world's leading expert, on this occult movement, which we talk about so frequently. Because, you see, behind everything that's going on today, whether it be the changes in education, whether it be the destruction of marriage, whether it be the circulation of pornography, whether it would be what's happening politically or financially, are powerful spiritual forces. Most people don't understand that the people behind our great tax-exempt foundations that have been so instrumental in altering the structure of the life in this country. I'm talking about the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, are men who were dedicated to the occult. Certainly Andrew Carnegie was dedicated to the occult, as was Henry Ford. He was into theosophy and spiritualism, and there have been many members of the Rockefeller family who have been involved in the occult. In fact, Robert Mueller, in his book, The First Lady of the World, tells about how old John D. Rockefeller Jr., when he picked the site for the United Nations building, why they picked an occult site. It was a site that had been used by the Indians for many generations, and it was a site that then had been used as a slaughterhouse with the blood of millions of cattle soaked into the sand there. And that is where the United States, the bloody United Nations, stands today, which is to become the one world government. But people don't really understand that you get into the background of J.P. Morgan, the financier, deeply involved with astrology. The man who controlled both Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Colonel House, involved with the occult, a disciple of Nicholas Roark. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt was involved with the occult. And many of our presidents have been involved in the occult, whether it be Richard Nixon, who called in I think it was Gene Dixon, whether it be the Reagan administration, where, of course, we had Nancy, of course, going to an astrologer on a regular basis, and Nancy's astrologer writing a book entitled What Did Jones Say, going into the background of the fact that President Reagan regularly asked Nancy, when she came back from seeing her astrologer, Joan Quigley, what did Jones say? Fascinating insight into how the astrologer was able to dominate the Reagan administration, and yet you're never going to hear that through regular channels. And with that as background, and of course we could talk about Hillary Clinton bringing psychics into the White House to conjure up the spirits, and then of course we have the Bush family, both Father Bush and Junior Bush. Certainly both of them, involved in a secret Luciferian society, a secret occult society, skull and bones. And then we wonder why we're in as much trouble as we are today. Constance Cumby, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, as usual, for the invitation.
Well, so what are we going to talk about this afternoon?
Your menu.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I'd like to talk your view then of the influence of the occult on what's happening financially, because I think this is so vitally important. We certainly know about the background of J.P. Morgan in astrology. In fact, he claimed that a lot of his fortune came from astrology. So what part do you see these occult forces playing in the current financial crisis that is sweeping the world? And before you answer that, we'll be back in just a moment. Pick up the thoughts. Do you have any thoughts on it at all, Constance?
Well, there's a New Age slogan that crisis equals opportunity. And sometimes it's hard with these folks to tell which came first, the chicken and or the egg. Are they taking advantage of a bad situation is there, or did they create the bad situation to have something to take advantage of? They certainly have been saying for years that this was how things were going to come down. My goodness, since I started watching Benjamin Krem in the early 1980s, he was talking about a financial crisis of this magnitude occurring. And then Maitreya, Betraya, whatever his name is supposed to be, would step forward and offer a solution. And for the last two or three years, they've been intensifying it, and finally they've been saying it's here, it's no longer the new age, it's the now age. And they certainly are taking care of it. Now, whether they caused it specifically, there certainly have been people playing with these forces who are deeply and currently and documentably involved in the occult. George Soros is one very prime example who admits to a messianic, a god complex, and has been playing with the market forces while at the same time testifying to Congress about what was causing these things. But he himself was a prime causative factor on a good share of this chaos. There have been other factors that, such as greed, that have clearly played into it. And people do things for other motives, but certainly the occultists have been offering it as a solution. Moreover, it's been a tremendous opportunity for them. I heard on the radio the other day that the psychic content, the contacts were way up, that people, because of their distress and because of their uncertainty, were seeking out the soothsayers, were seeking out the fortune tellers, and relying on these things instead of going to God and praying for some wisdom as they ought.
Well, we certainly are reading Benjamin Krem's writings in The Emergence. This is a little publication. I'm sure you're well acquainted with it.
Oh, yeah.
Why, first, he talks about, you know, how this financial crisis is going to bring forth the coming of the chosen one, of the Maitreya, that this is going to stimulate his coming forward, and he will be coming forward very soon. Of course, he's been saying that for 30 years or more. Is this real, or is he just an opportunist? I really don't know.
I think it's, in his mind, it is very real, and it's happening. And I think that I think one thing is that the one that he's relying on for his global leadership, the spirit he gives credit to, Lucifer, isn't as all powerful.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this afternoon is Constance Cumby, and Constance, you know, in reply to my question, what part of the occult and this Luciferian New Age movement play in the current financial crisis? Constance commented that if you read the New Age writings, they will have been talked for a long time about how the final crisis was going to come about, was going to be a financial crisis, and that was going to facilitate bringing in this new world leader who they've been working to introduce for, well, as long as I can remember, and I'm sure it's been a lot longer than that. They were talking about bringing the world leader in the early part of the 20th century, but this has been a plan going back really to the medieval ages. It's been this whole idea of the world government, the world leader, has been really the very reason for being of many of the secret societies and mystery religions. But we are living at the time when this is all coming down. So certainly, Constance, you were just saying you don't know whether it's cause or effect, but certainly they're going to
explode. If crisis equals opportunity, if it's opportunistic, are they taking advantage of something that occurred naturally? But it has struck me, Dr. Stan, that there's the same amount of money in the world this week as there was last week and the week before and the few months before. We have not had an earthquake of the magnitude that all the money in the world was sucked into the sea. We haven't had a cyclone in the world to the extent that all the money in the world was sucked into outer space, and suddenly there is a global recession everywhere. And when I heard our president say we were in a period of global contraction, one of the biggest things that the occultists and the New Agers and those who would control the global economy with this Internet of Things and contraction and convergence formula of Aubrey Meyer, he was giving exactly their line, that we have to contract everything, and then you put limits on everything. And so at the same time, they're talking one, they're talking the other, and when I heard from the president's lips the very words that Aubrey Meyer has been saying, that we are in a period of global contraction after the president comes back from a meeting of the G20 in England, which, interestingly enough, the G20 mechanism was set up the same year that the Common Foreign and Security Policy of Europe was established, and I have to believe that some of the forces I've been looking at mapped both out at the same time. And they basically are pushing forward on this, and so they're, whether there's really a global reduction, there's probably the same amount of money in the world there was before, either that or the money never existed to begin with, that it was all on paper and never real.
Well, I think that people really have to understand the difference between money and credit. And certainly, you're absolutely right, the amount of actual money, real money, at least the paper money, is exactly the same. But what they've done is they built upon that foundation of paper money, they create credit. And credit, you know, it allows, of course, a booming stock market, booming value, and they, or assume value in the price of homes. And basically what's happened is the world stock market and the price of homes has contracted almost 50% over most of the world. We're far better off than most of the rest of the world, but almost almost $50 trillion worth of wealth has just disappeared. Now, it never was real wealth. It was always imaginary. It was all part of this mind game that they create of artificial wealth. But certainly there is this global contraction. I personally believe that Henry Kissinger, one of the major architects of this, who certainly, at least according to an article in West Magazine some years ago, Henry Kissinger and his good friend Robert McNamara and their good friend, pardon me, had gone to regular meetings at the Boca Grande, which is an occult center in Colorado. And we also know from some of Dr. Cuddy's writings that David Rockefeller at least attended one of those meetings along with a member of the Rothschilds at this occult center. What can we say? Well, they attended an occult meeting. Does that mean they're occultists? We can't prove it. But we can certainly say that they're working for world government, which has always been the occult, the goal of the world occult movement. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, certainly there's large segments of it involved in it. You know, some are involved with an occult agenda, probably the bulk of them. And probably some are involved because their god is money.
And it could very well be. And then if you, we have a little pamphlet put out by the Lucius Trust called the Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, where they actually say some of the people don't even understand that they're working for our goal and our purpose, meaning that of the Luciferians. These ideas come into their minds and they follow them along. And I think that probably there are many of the people who are involved in so much of what's going on politically and economically who do not really understand where these ideas come from. They're just there in their mind. The motive is there, the goal is there, and they simply carry it out without ever realizing it's been channeled to them. Have you encountered that concept?
Well, that's scriptural also. I think it was Jeremiah that warned. He said, "Oh Lord," he said, "I know that the way of man is not within himself. It is not within man that walketh to direct his steps." Folks are going to get directed by one side or the other, and if they're not seeking God's counsel, the other side's going to take advantage of the vacuum and move right in and inspire them, and they may not know some of the deeper sources of that inspiration. They may see it as something humanitarian. They might see it as a way to enrich their families. They might even rationalize it as their duty as providers for their family. But people are playing into this for one motive or another.
In fact, I have this one book that was written back in the 1920s by a man who knew Colonel Edward Mandel House very well. And he mentioned in his book how Colonel House would come in a room and talk to people, and he would ooze ideas into their mind. That was his term, ooze ideas into their mind. And after Colonel House had left, why, the person had suddenly come up with this brilliant idea. They'd think it was their own. They'd go to report it to their superior. He'd think it was a great idea. They'd put it into force, and it would work just wonderfully. And only later did they realize that that idea had been oozed into their mind by Colonel House. And
you know,
we don't use that term ooze very commonly today, but I think that's a good description of how they do
description.
It.
That's a good description, and a lot of the folks doing this thing just ooze charm, or they'll also get prominent people and put them up on a pedestal and keep them busy at international conferences, like some of the royalty, like Queen Reina of Georgia, of Jordan, and there'll be a conference of the World Economic Forum, which clearly, in my opinion, has an occult agenda. And so they'll put these folks up there discussing their solutions to the world problems, which are exactly the agenda that the New Agers have been advancing for years, and then they have these people as maybe out of guilt that they have more than other people or more prominence than other people, and that this is their duty to society, and so they put them up there and to say the party line, and they all play along and make it look like it's consensus on the part of the powers that be in the world.
Really, I think that's so true. They give you the idea, well, everybody's saying it, so it must be true.
It must be true. You know, you mentioned the 1920s, and the parallels are fascinating, absolutely fascinating. We started out with a period of tremendous expansion in the 20s and the development, and the New Agers had been working for many years on their agenda. And around the turn of the century and shortly thereafter, Helena Annie Besant was preparing the world receive a new Messiah who was neither Jesus nor Jewish, Krishnamurti. And we're going at it full blast in the teens and the 20s, and by 1929 it was expected that he would ascend to his world throne. And the Dutch royalty was in on the game, and had the Dutch national radio had carried what was supposed to be Krishnamurti's inaugural speech to take over the New World Order. And when that didn't happen, then we had, when it didn't happen when they thought it was going to happen, then we had, they had a tremendous, I guess you'd call it global contraction. And we had a tremendous, there were tremendous depressions and all over the world, bad in the United States, bad everywhere else, and then that scenario ended in war. And then after the war, then fresh attempts to, for a new occult agenda. And it looks like it's the same thing, that things aren't happening quite as fast as they would like for them to happen. So to intensify the sense of urgency, as they were reconverging behind Hitler instead of Krishnamurti, you have the economic crisis and then the global tensions. And are we building towards, we're having depression, are we building towards war?
I think
fascinating issue.
I think we really are. I mean, all we need to do, for instance, is watch 60 Minutes. They put on programs about how terrible the Iranians are and how they're torturing people and the terrible suffering of the prisoners. And I'm sure it's true. But why do they focus on it? Why don't they talk about what goes on in Saudi Arabia? Our good friends in Saudi Arabia, our good friends in Kuwait or the other Muslim countries. Why do they pick on Iran? Because I think that they want an excuse to go to war with Iran. And where I grew up on the internet, people send me things all the time where you have these so-called Muslim leaders. You hear them right there on the YouTube. Well, of course, they have to translate the Arabic, but they're talking about the coming attack on America and how wonderful it is for the people who want to create acts of violence here, and how they're going to smuggle anthrax in here and kill hundreds of thousands of Americans. And I watched this program just this morning, and I thought, that is frankly war propaganda to build up our hatred for the Muslims so that it will justify going to war with the Muslim world.
The declared strategy of the New Age community was to pit the three monotheistic religious groups of the world against each other after infiltrating all three, infiltrating the Muslims, the Sufism, which there have been jubilant accounts in the world press would be used as the army basically to enforce the Alliance of Civilizations, infiltrate Judaism with various forms of mysticism, infiltrate Christianity with various forms of compromise and mysticism, then pit the remaining fundamentalists of all groups against each other, who would caused the conflagration that, as Marilyn Ferguson had put it in her books, would change the landscape of the world forever, and that they, the New Agers, they hoped would be the phoenix to arise from the ashes.
Hold that thought, we'll be right
civilization.
Back. Go right ahead, Scontus.
Okay. I think I made my point there that they the game plan was a very, not even a secret game plan. They thought it was secret. They suffered under this delusion that only they, the occult initiates, could read their own books with any understanding, and that we would not be able to read plain English. And they're still dumbfounded that we could read their books and understand them. They're dumbfounded that we could use the Internet and make productive use of it. So now they're talking about a new Internet that hopefully will shut us out. And one of their spokesmen, one I've tracked prominently, had said very surprised, and he said they use the global village to complete advantage. Well, I mean, did they really think that they were going to be communicating with all of that, and that we were going to use tin cans and carrier pigeons and tom-toms to do our communicating?
Well, I think that they really believe, and I think they're probably right, that most Americans are not going to go onto their websites. Most Americans, if they read their writings, can't understand them. For instance, it's like...
Or believe them.
Or reading Morals and Dogma by certainly Albert Pike. Of course, for our listeners out there, Albert Pike was the father of modern-day Masonry, who wrote a wonderful book called Morals and Dogma back in about 1871, 1872. And if you read that book and you don't know what the secret is, you can't figure it out. Once you understand they're talking about true gods, when they talk about God, they're not talking about the God of the Bible. They're talking about a different God. Once you understand that, suddenly everything he's writing makes sense. But if nobody tells you that, I'll have to admit that I read that thing over a period of years, a couple of times, and I ended up always mystified until I suddenly realized they were talking about the Gnostic faith and the fact that there were two gods, and the God of the Bible is the inferior God.
Yes. Yeah. If they recognize our everything is reversed with them, the God of the Bible is Jehovah, an evil spirit, according to their view of the world. And Lucifer was the great shining savior, the one who made a tremendous sacrifice, who sacrificed all kinds of heavenly power and glory to come down and make sure that we evolved as he thought we should evolve. It's all reversed. Good is evil, evil is good.
In fact, there's a wonderful article up on the Loser's Trust website, or at least you can link to it. You probably have done this, but you put in Lucifer, Loser's Trust, and on your search engine, it'll take you to a site where they tell you that, yes, Loser's Trust did come out of something called the Loser's Publishing House, and the Loser's Publishing House one time was called Lucifer Publishing, but, that didn't mean it had anything to do with, with Lucifer. Lucius means light, that's wonderful. Or Lucifer means light, and then they have a link there, and of course you go to that link. It takes you to a website that tells you that Lucifer is really a pretty good guy. I mean, he just got a bad rap. He came to Earth to suffer for mankind.
I just have it here, if I could share it with your readers.
You go right ahead. I mean, it's the most amazing article.
The esoteric
article.
Meaning of Lucifer. It said there are comments on the World Wide Web claiming that the Lucis Trust was once called the Lucifer Trust. Such was never the case. However, for a brief period of 2 or 3 years in the early 1920s...
Hold that, Connie. We're going to bring our station back, and I want you to start at the very beginning of that. I want our listeners to hear that. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance Cumby was simply quoting from an article on the Lucis Trust website. And you've got to hear what she has to say. Now, you can actually pull it down. Go to your search engine and type in Lucis Trust, Lucifer.
In fact, all you need to type in are two words, Lucifer and Lucis.
Okay, Lucifer and Lucis. And what does
it
say?
And the first link it takes you to is the Lucis Trust's own website, and with a big headline that says, The Esoteric Meaning of Lucifer.
Go right ahead. Please read that, because I think it's so vital for people to understand the thought process here. And it is so flagrant. I mean, they must think we're terribly, terribly stupid. Go right ahead.
Okay, so there are comments on the World Wide Web claiming that the Lucis Trust was once called the Lucifer Trust. Such was never the case. However, for a brief period of 2 or 3 years in the early 1920s, when Alice and Foster Bailey were beginning to publish the books published under her name, they named their fledgling publishing company, quote, Lucifer Publishing Company, unquote. By 1925, the name was changed to Lucis Publishing Company and has remained so ever since. Both Lucifer and Lucis come from the same word root, Lucis, being the Latin generative case meaning of light. The Baileys' reasons for choosing the original name are not known to us, but we can only surmise that they, like the great teacher H.P. Blavatsky, for whom they had enormous respect, sought to elicit a deeper understanding of the sacrifice made by Lucifer. Alice and Foster Bailey were serious students and teachers of theosophy, a spiritual tradition which views Lucifer as one of the solar angels, those advanced beings who theosophy says descended, parentheses, thus the fall, close parentheses, from Venus to our planet eons ago to bring the principle of mind to what was then animal man. In the theosophical perspective, the descent of these solar angels was not a fall into sin or disgrace, but rather an act of great sacrifice, as is suggested in the name Lucifer, which means light bearer. And then they have a link to an article, Descent and Sacrifice, and published in an article in their Beacon magazine in 1989. And this is, the scripture said in the last days some would depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Dr. Stan, I offer this as Exhibit A.
It really is a beautiful letter. Why don't you go ahead and pick up as much as we can before we go to the break?
Okay. Well, this is Sarah McKechnie, who I believe is still the president of Lucis Trust. So the mystery of the descent or fall to earth of the rebellious angels, and let me put in brackets there that Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven to earth. Said, the solar angels, or Agnus Vadis, is said to be the mystery hinted at in the scripture and the secret of the ages. Plus, it is not surprising that there is so much confusion and misunderstanding concerning the fallen angels, of which Lucifer is the best-known representative. So the secret of the fallen angels is essentially the mystery which lies behind the very plan of evolution for the solar angels' willingness to fall, to sacrifice themselves in order to bring the light of the principle of mind to what was then animal man.
Let me just intercede. When they talk about plan, they capitalize P.
Capital P.
Because this is a divine plan that they're talking about. And the plan is being enacted today. And it involves a world government and bringing together. You go right ahead.
And this is, they've taken the biblical thing, and instead of saying that Satan was something bad, Satan is something good, that Lucifer it was good that he made a sacrifice. It said marked by the coming of the great law of duality, by which matter, form, negative and passive, could be quickened by spirit. So this act of sacrifice at the dawn of human history is a thread woven throughout the great scriptures and mythologies of the world. And I might add, Dr. Stan, that Jesus referred to this in Revelation as Mystery Babylon, which had corrupted the entire world. And I offer this one as Exhibit B. Okay. It said, including the myth of Prometheus, who stole fire from Bran Prenn's mind for man, and the biblical story of the prodigal son, who left the father's son home to embark upon the path of experience. So now they're plagiarizing Jesus' story about the prodigal son. So the role of the solar angels and their sacrifice on behalf of humanity is discussed at length in The Secret Doctrine by H.P. Blavatsky. In fact, in 1887, the magazine of the Theosophical Society took Lucifer as its name. It sure did, okay, in an effort to bring clarity to what it regarded as an unfairly maligned sacrificing angel.
And interestingly enough,
that is what Salvador de Madariaga, who is the grandfather of Javier Solana, or the great uncle, depending on which account of Javier Solana's you believe at which time, He stated this belief in a speech he gave on the New World Order in London in 1939. I have that speech in my office. He used almost identical language of this about Lucifer. An unfairly maligned sacrificing angel.
Hold that thought, please. Well, Connie, go right ahead.
Okay. This line, everything going through here, it says the name Lucifer comes from the Latin words lux or lucis, light, and to bring, and said Lucifer literally means light bearer. It is linked with the planet Venus in Revelations 22:16, when Christ said, I am the bright morning star, which is Venus. So now they're trying to say Jesus sent us Lucifer? I don't think so. So it is linked with Mercury or Hermes, the divine messenger for the gods in Greek and Roman mythology. And, you know, I might add there, just to explain this, that the Apostle Paul said no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Those who worship idols worship devils. And as you see them laying this out, certainly this proves that was true. That from the occultist's own mouth, that these are all different names for Lucifer. It says the esoteric interrelationship of this guardian angel and Christ is further illumined in the statement on the Tibetan teacher with whom Alice Bailey collaborated to write a series of books on the ageless wisdom that, quote, Mercury and the Sun are one, unquote.
Now, I think people need to understand that was actually a demonic spirit named Joao Cool who was channeling the books to her. The collaboration was...
This is a demon that was communicating with Alice Bailey, right, that Alice Bailey believed was telepathically transmitting occult teachings to her, instructions for disciples in the last quarter of the 20th century. And you have to understand these books, too, by Alice Bailey are literally followed like little recipe books in the occult. These folks are just fanatically believe in this woman. Even this month I ran into people at a party for judges. I ran into a woman who was a translator for the courts, who was deeply into this, and she just frantically wanted to shut me up at a party and to dominate the conversation. And I finally just asked her point blank if she was familiar with the teachings of something called Theosophy, and she said she was, and then she was familiar with the Alice Bailey books. And finally I just looked at her and I said, look, I said, I know where you're coming from, you know where I'm coming from, let's be civil for the evening. And then she shut up and went somewhere else.
All right, fine, go ahead.
She was frantic to stop me from answering questions that other people had at the table about my book. Okay, said, esoterically, the role of guardian angel was made possible by the sacrifice of the solar angels. Through persistent, repeated incarnations until animal man became thinking man. And it said the notion of the rebellious angel seems to track back to the poet John Milton.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Constance Cumby, and we're going over this article that you can link to from the Lucis Trust website, the one you'll get to by simply typing in Lucius and Lucifer, Lucius and Lucifer. And, of course, then there's a link to this article that was written some years ago saying that really that Lucifer got a bad rap. He was really a wonderful guy. He just came here to suffer for mankind. But anyway, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and put
this is frightening because there was a Catholic priest in Detroit, and I'm not a Catholic basher, far from it, but this particular priest was on the Judicial Tenure Commission for the state of Michigan, and he's still living. He's quite elderly now, and his books have come out, and he's so far into the occult, he actually said Lucifer received a bum rap.
Right.
To think that people that are in power have these beliefs and are aggressively seeking to, through channels they have, which are sometimes very powerful, being chairman of the Judicial Tenure Commission during the time this priest had it was a very powerful thing. The same priest was teaching silver mind control to a church in Detroit, and I heard stories of people who had basically had nervous breakdowns in his class, and one who tried to and was just fortunately stopped in time by her husband to bring a knife down on her son, baby son, because she believed in her delusion that had started at this priest Silva mind control classes at a well-respected Detroit church, that God had called her, like Abraham, to sacrifice her son. And she's all right now. She's repented. She's talked to me at some length and come out of it. But there are people doing this, and not just in Catholic circles. I've been shocked. Sometimes when I was on the lecture circuit, I ran into people who professed to be Pentecostals but were into something called the Manifest Son of God movement, the Overcomers of the Sonship movement, and they were arguing with me that Lucifer was not Satan. And I asked them, I said, who but Lucifer himself would have a vested interest in defending Lucifer's good name? It's amazing how this has penetrated, and it's not hard to see through. Satan wanted to be worshipped as God. He's never departed from that goal. He wants to steal as many souls from God as possible. He wants to be worshipped and adored as God. And if he can get so many suckers to do it, he'll take them with him.
Amen to that. But before we go on, I want you to get out your website and how people can get to your radio program. And I understand I'm going to be on for the next hour.
We're going to be at 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to be doing the worldwideweb.themicroeffect.com. And Dr. Stan is going to be my guest. And you can, when you're done with this program, just go on your website to worldwideweb.themicroeffect.com, and you can click on Listen Live. Or some of you have radio stations and the country radio stations that pick it up, and you could tune in that way. But the other thing you can do is come into the chat room and join us.
And we have
a lively forum in the chat room.
And I should mention that we have a wonderful DVD with Constance called The Emergence, and then we have a 4-tape set, my interviews with her. What's it called? The Aquarian Conspiracy. In fact, would you like copies of those, Constance?
I indeed would. Thank you.
Well, we will see that you get them, and if you want to reproduce them, why, that's fine. If you'd like to get
them. Thank you very much.
But you're more than welcome to, but go right ahead with what you were saying.
Okay. Anyway, it's just really amazing how much they're hanging this out there, because when I started my work, they used to deny this, and they would. And I knew it had existed. I had seen it, and indeed, Mary Bailey, who was president of Lucis Trust at the time, wrote somebody a letter and denied that Lucis Publishing Company had ever been known as Lucifer Publishing Company. And the woman she sent the letter to took it as gospel. She'd written a letter at the suggestion of her pastor. Her pastor said, see, that proves Constance Cumby doesn't know what she's talking about. And then I got my hands on a copy of the book, made a copy of it, sent it to the woman, and the woman then wrote Mary Bailey back and said, okay, why did you lie to me? And Mary Bailey wrote back and says, well, when we say Lucifer, we don't mean Satan.
Oh. Well, yeah. Now, this was Alice Bailey's daughter.
This was Foster Bailey's successor wife. This was a woman who was active in Lucis Trust, who Foster Bailey married after Alice Bailey died.
All right, fine. Went to adjust
rewards. And she took over. She was like Alice Bailey. She was another staunch esotericist, follower of theosophy, and of all things occult.
And I think the biggest problem we have today, Constance, is the average Christian has no idea that there's this massive movement out there, and the ministers are keeping this from them. Now,
one reason has been there's been a deliberate cover-up.
I mean, I think we
have met the enemy, and they are us. One of the biggest shocks I found was this huge prayer breakfast network, which I'm sure some good things have come out of it. But at the very highest levels, there were interlocking directorates between it, the family, the Fellowship Foundation, the Internet. Somebody from there had gone in and edited the article, the Wikipedia article on that, and said, and it changed the word New Age Movement to cultural creatives. Well, people need to know that the phrase cultural creative means New Age, or only much more so. More so and more aggressively, but by changing the terminology a little bit, they thought they would throw folks again, so it's a game of concealment, deception, and general semantics.
Well, the one thing is they cannot let the American people, the American people really understood the other dimension, that these organizations have infiltrated our religious ceremonies, our seminaries, both Protestant and Catholic, so that the ministers and most of the priests really don't understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. In fact, I think one of the exciting things is the fact that Constance's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, is soon going to be available again. It's been out of print for a long period of time. If you can get your hands on it, get a copy. If not, hopefully it'll be... When is it going to be available?
Well, first of all, I've got it available. If people want to print it out for themselves, which is a lot more expensive than buying a copy, and if people would like to be able to download it and read it in PDF form, it's up on the Internet. I put it up there, and the reason I put it up there, Dr. Stan, was this. The New Agers, Benjamin Krem, was putting out his very expensive books for free. And when I saw that, I was stunned. I received word that they were running an advertising blitz in the state of Texas. And that they... And then I went to the website, and here books were that were costly, hard to obtain, and they were up there for absolutely free for clicking on the Internet. Well, I fight fire with fire. So I put my two books up there, and I said, okay, now you can download these. You can even give it to your friends. That you just may not reproduce it for mass reproduction. That's what I'm going to do. We're going to be doing an updated, expanded copy for Tom Horn and his publishing company, but in the meantime, you may have this so you can read it and understand it, because it's hard for people to find. So if they just go over to my website, worldwideweb.cumbie.blogspot.com, there's links to it, and I think a few thousand other folks put links to it up on the Internet after I put up that announcement.
Well, I hope everybody will read it. It was the book that I will have to admit changed my life back in the early 1980s, because I always knew I was missing something. I mean, I knew that the communists were bad, and I realized that communists were being pushed on us by the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and the great tax-exempt foundations, all really funding and financing communism to create an artificial enemy. But why would they do that? There was an X factor. I had no idea what it was, and then I read Constance's book, and it was just like a revelation, like a bucket of cold water. And suddenly, it sure got my attention, and I've been dedicated to Constance ever since then.
Interestingly, in the book on the cultural creatives, which the folks trying to cover up what the Fellowship Foundation has doing and the extent of the compromise, the cultural creatives by Paul Ray and Sherry Ruth Anderson, how 50 million people are changing the world, and that was 50 million people about, I think, probably 10, 15 years ago when this book was first released. Let's see, when was it? First released was in in the year 2000, copyright. So 9 years ago they released this book. And they write about how the social and consciousness movements are flowing together and the convergence of movements important to cultural creatives. And cultural creative, you hear somebody say, I'm a cultural creative, it means exactly the same thing as New Agers. And complete with Starhawk. In fact, this makes some of the New Age things look a little conservative.
Well, I mean, the thing is that there's an organized effort to confuse us. They have unlimited funds. They have certainly millions of followers throughout the world, and some of them are in key positions at every level of society. In fact, I think Marilyn Ferguson said it best, you know, in her book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, where she described how there's this vast conspiracy out there that permeated every aspect of our society.
Now, these are the five major movements that they are claiming, the sympathizers and supporters. This is the five major components of their movement, the cultural creative, which means exactly the same thing as New Age movement. So the ecology movement is distinguished from conventional environmentalism, feminism, alternative health care, self-actualization psychology, and spirituality with a psychological as opposed to traditional religious focus. And it said that the cultural creatives, meaning New Agers, are about twice as likely as anyone else to be involved in these large movements. And their engagement isn't limited to these five alone. And then they said it's 67% of cultural creatives are in the moral publics of the jobs and social justice movement. And so are 60% of those who supported ecological sustainability, meaning like massive global population reduction, people dying and getting out of the way in favor of other species because we can't be guilty of speciesism, one of the words they invented.
Well, they certainly are creative. And, of course, I mean, there's something to be said for alternative health. There's something to be said for environmentalism. There's something to be said for each one of the things they're into. The only trouble is they're going to utilize that not to improve the situation, but to destroy humanity. And they really do want to destroy humanity. They want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. In fact, they're behind this whole eugenic, you know, population control movement that is so prevalent and we're fighting. Financing over in communist China today. We're financing all throughout the world with our, you know, abortion funding and family planning funding, and it's all about killing off large segments of the world's population, including the AIDS epidemic, which is being used for population control.
They have Paul Hawken, who's another one I've looked at. He was tight with David Spangler. Yes, he was in on the entire Luciferian agenda, something they call the Pachamama movement. The earth is a mother, and they're headed towards earth worship on this, but they're talking about they're now departing for new territory, and this is an interesting quote. It says, we've seen how a general movement for change is growing now, cutting across dozens of social issues and affecting hundreds of millions of people, not just cultural creatives. So the various social movements themselves are converging on common themes and have an immense overlapping constituency. The constituency and the leading edge of the movement is largely the cultural creatives, which that means new agers. And Paul Temple, who was the man who was part of the core group of the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C., and the president, the co-founder and the former president and the chief bankroller of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, he gave held some conferences, and Barbara Marks Hubbard, who he's given lots of money to, he and Lawrence Rockefeller have both given her a lot of money. Barbara Marks Hubbard spoke, and she said how they had a meeting back in 1988 with these resistant Christian ministers at Gold Lake Ranch, Colorado, and she said the first night some of those ministers were really suspicious, and then they sat in the hot tubs and they talked, and the first night they were guarded, and the second night they were less guarded, and the third night they were very warm and friendly towards them. And she said that was the key to success for the New Agers, was having the personal experiences with them, and i.e. meaning trying to corrupt the conservative ministers.
Well, I'm sure they're very, very good at what they do, and they've managed to neutralize the church, which is not speaking out against this very real menace to humanity as a whole.
And not only are they neutralizing, there are sometimes they have turned some of the people that have compromised into them into either active change agents or concealing agents for the movement.
Well, our job is just to get the information out, and hope that our listeners out there want to get copies of this program and our other interviews with you, because I think they will give them the information they need to be able to address this issue and to be able to discuss it intelligently. This really is, according to Marilyn Ferguson, a conspiracy. They call it the Aquarian Conspiracy. Certainly H.C. Wells called it the Open Conspiracy. But behind all of it is a conspiracy against God, against the God of the Bible. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on really begins to make sense.
Yes. Yes, and yes, most certainly it is a rebellion. It's an open rebellion, and every day it's getting a little bit more intense. And my goodness, Dr. Stan, the movies that we used to watch on end time events were not quite as wild as our news seems to be getting daily. I don't know how the California Supreme Court is coming out on the proposition that on same-sex marriage, but Iowa, Vermont, Massachusetts, television programs—it's—it's becoming—it's such—it's so in our face now as a culture that they're rapidly marginalizing anybody with the values that society has had for thousands of years. And basically, if we point to those issues as being a departure from the norms, then they point to us as having a radical agenda. Suddenly good has become evil, and evil has become good.
In fact, the last 2-hour session of emergency ER that's been so popular for many years had a story about a homosexual man who was dying and his lover, and they were just so close to one another, holding hands. It was this very nice elderly man faced death, all designed to, of course, get our sympathy for homosexuals.
And it's becoming daily. And when I heard Judge Judy, who always seemed like kind of a common sense type person, and heard her absolutely railing against people who were opposed to gay marriage. And when Larry King said to her, she said, you know, the Christian folk are opposed to same-sex marriage. And she almost turned purple. And she looked very angry, flushed and angry. And she said, well, the Christian folk can feel any way they want, but they have absolutely no right to impose their feelings on the rest of us.
And yet the people on the other side want to impose their feelings and their beliefs on us, and they're using the educational system. They're using programs like ER. I'm glad it's off the air now, and I hope it never comes back again. They just stop the reruns because so many of these things were used, examples were used to influence our attitude. Television is a terrible, terrible menace because it creates a reality in our minds, and they
know
how to play.
There was another thing, Dr. Stan. There was a television program that was on Sunday nights, and it was one of the few I enjoyed. And the theology was not perfect, but it left you with a feeling that you loved God, and that was touched by an angel.
Right, and I remember it so well.
And suddenly that has disappeared, and just about every other show that was ever on out there, you can buy the DVD collections, and for some strange reason, that isn't available. I can't help but wonder that if the hatred of God wasn't so intense that they wanted anything that even gave people a warm, fuzzy feeling towards God eliminated.
I think you're absolutely right. Until people understand that there is an organized, orchestrated, coordinated conspiracy against God, so much of what's going on doesn't make any sense. I mean, until you understand that the Masons control the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971, put there by Masonic presidents Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry Truman, and they were the ones who took God and prayer and out of our schools and set the precedent for what's going on.
It may have even gone back further than that. I have a book sitting at home called The Metaphysical Club about groups that met in the 1800s, and Oliver Wendell Holmes was quite anti-God and pro-esoteric beliefs. And the influence he had on the Supreme Court at the time. Well, it's been going on for some time and waves, but now they're certainly emboldened and moving faster and with more ruthlessness towards those of us who espouse traditional values, which suddenly are being redefined as hate themes.
Well, we're out of time, Constance. God bless. I'll talk to you in just a few minutes. I'll be waiting for your call.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. Look forward to talking to you. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance has got to run because she's got to do her own radio program in the next hour, and I've got to run because I'm going to be her guest. But it's always a pleasure to be on with Constance and to try to get the information out and to our audience and to her audience. And Constance does a great job, and you go to her blog spot. You can simply go to your search engine and Google it. I should not say Google. We're not using that term. Go to your search engine and put in Constance a Cumbie blog, and you can listen to a program on a regular basis. Always a great source of information, but you must understand that there is this other force out there. Now, of course, we have the four-tape set, the Aquarian Conspiracy. It's actually a four-CD set, the Aquarian Conspiracy. We have the DVD that Constance made when she was here. It's called The Emergence, going into the background of the fact that the Antichrist is prepared to appear on the world scene. And there is an organized effort behind him with fabulous amounts of money, and of course this finances the whole New Age movement, and some of the wealthiest people in the world are involved with this. In fact, you go into the funding of the Lucis Trust and some of their front organizations, and you will find some of the wealthiest people in the world and their foundations are actually funding those front groups. The same people who are actually, of course, behind the vaccine campaign over in Africa, where they're using the mercury-laced vaccines to destroy the lives of the little black children. Because behind all of this is an intense hatred of blacks. You must understand, here in the United States, one in every 16 black men will contract HIV disease during their lifetime. One in every 30 black women. This disease is targeted at blacks. They're much more susceptible. And certainly in Africa, why? In Botswana, 46% of the pregnant women are infected, and they're all going to die. Well, that's your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen, and you were involved, and men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a great new CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. Goes into the professional assassins trained by your government to kill heads of state, including people running for the presidency right here in the United States. And then, of course, you will actually hear their testimony as to what they were trained in, what they were told to do, what they were asked to do. Deadly Assassins. Then, of course, we have the new DVD with Dr. Russell Blaylock, the vaccines and the brain development, vaccines and brain development, because they're designed through the mercury, and they still have mercury in vaccines that they give to children. They just don't want the parents to know that, and they give it to pregnant women, the influenza shot, laden with mercury. You need to get the DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, because it goes into the background of, the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that's behind this effort to vaccinate all the little children with toxic vaccines that are going to destroy their minds. And when you get this, you get a free CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of documentation. So you'll get the DVD and then the documentation, and you need to get that information. You need to get the Neil Miller's little book, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? It's easy reading. Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? His little book on autism, we have his 500-page book, The Vaccine Safety Manual, but get the simple ones first, read them through. We have a great new 4-CD set. It's called Vaccine Update 2009. My interviews with Neil Miller and other people in this field. That's Vaccine Update 2009. So much information available from Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the satellite feed 9 hours a day. Seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day and a weekend program. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.